Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible records just one event in the childhood and youth of Jesus. And that recorded only briefly and only in the Gospel according to St. Luke. The Bible records the humble birth of our Savior in the historic town of Bethlehem. It records the coming of the wise men from the east with their unusual faith-filled gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. It records the hurried flight of Jesus and the Holy Family into Egypt in order to escape the murderous hand of a jealous king. All those events likely happened when Jesus was just an infant. The Bible then skips over to when Jesus is 30 years old and records the baptism of Jesus and the beginning of his public ministry. The result is this nearly 30-year-long gap. Into that, the Bible tells us of just one small event. It happened when Jesus was 12 years old. In the custom of that day, Jesus would have just completed his bar mitzvah, an event very much like our confirmation. And in religion, in the religious sense anyway, in the practice of Judaism, it made him a man. He would now be able to join with the other men in the full participation of the Jewish religion. The highest point of that, the most important, the most glorious of that, would be the Passover celebration at the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. It seems that Jesus and his family went every year, but this would be the first year he could participate in it all with the other men. Villages traveled as a whole company, as a caravan. The whole people of Jerusalem would have gathered together, made the voyage together, traveling down the road that led to the Sea of Galilee. And there they would have picked up the ancient trade route that paralleled the Jordan River south until they came to the ancient city of Jericho. And there they would have picked up a long, windy, dangerous road that led to Jerusalem. It was a journey that would have taken them 3 solid days. Men, mostly. But women and kids were more than welcome to come along, more than welcome to observe things, and that seems to have been the case with the Holy Family. Jesus, Joseph, but also his mother Mary, perhaps siblings. The event itself evidently came off without a hitch, or at least the Bible says nothing about it. Instead, the story focuses on the return trip home. All the festivities concluded. The group from Nazareth pulled up stakes, and the caravan resumed its trip toward home. Of course, Jesus had just entered that age when boys tend to hang out more with their friends than with their family. Boys were like that, and it was no different back then, and Mary and Joseph didn't give it a second thought. But there's one thing you know for sure about adolescent boys. They always show up at mealtime. It doesn't matter how far they have wandered off or what in the world they've been doing, somehow they know when it's dinner time, and they always manage to show up. And that was the case here. The sun was going down, dinner was being prepared, and the boys of the village were all sort of regathering with their families. Except for Jesus was not to be seen. Mary and Joseph inquired of his friends, you know, where's Jesus? And they all reported back, we haven't seen Jesus all day. That's when the horrible, frightening truth dawned on them. Mary and Joseph, they had lost Jesus. They had somehow left Jesus behind. Not just their son, the Son of God. They left him behind. It was nightfall. There was not a thing that they could do about it, but I'm sure they prayed. I'm sure they prayed hard. I'm sure they prayed long. I'm sure they prayed from their heart, and not just them. I'm sure everyone from the whole village of Nazareth prayed. Prayed with all the faith they could. Prayed that Jesus would be found. Prayed that Jesus would be safe. Jerusalem was a holy city, but it was also a very dangerous city, especially for one who really was just a boy. I'm certain Mary and Joseph never slept. And in the morning, when the sun arose, they separated. The caravan from Nazareth continuing its journey north, but Mary and Joseph went south, back to Jerusalem, back in search of Jesus. For 3 days, they looked. For 3 days, they searched for him. I wonder where. Perhaps they looked in the bazaar, the largest, most famous bazaar for hundreds of miles away. Foods and clothing and goods from all the corners of the world. I mean, exciting smells and sights for one who was really a country boy. Perhaps they looked for Jesus there. And then there were the street kids. Boys, mostly around Jesus' age. They were running away. And they tended to gather in the cities. Jerusalem probably had hundreds of them. Street kids. They lived off the streets. They lived from handouts. They lived from petty crime. Perhaps Jesus found them. Perhaps they found Jesus. Perhaps Mary and Joseph looked in their name. And then, maybe there was some kind, loving family that saw Jesus and their heart went out to Jesus. Maybe they brought Jesus into their home and gave Jesus a bed and gave Jesus food and care and were protecting Jesus and, as their own child and, until his parents should return and be reunited to him. Mary and Joseph must have hoped, prayed that was 3 days they searched for him. Obviously in all the wrong places. It finally occurred to them to go up to the Holy Temple in Jerusalem and to inquire perhaps of the priests and the rabbis if they had seen Jesus. And so they climb up the steps and they enter into the temple courts, but before they can ask anyone, they see Jesus. They see him with their own two eyes. And Mary, who reveals herself above all else to be a mom, she immediately runs up to Jesus and she hugs Jesus and she kisses Jesus and she says, Jesus, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I, we've been looking all over town for you. And Jesus says, where were you looking? Did you not know that I would be in my father's being disrespectful. It's just he was kind of amazed that they didn't know where to find him. It's an interesting
interesting story. Sunday school kids always like this one. Parents usually don't. It makes us a little uncomfortable. But you have to wonder. Of all the things that happened with Jesus during those 30 years, of all the things the Holy Spirit could tell us, why this? Why this? I wonder if perhaps it's because it's so common that Jesus was missing not just among the Holy Family a long time ago, a long ways away, but that Jesus is missing in a whole lot of families right here, right now. And just like Mary and Joseph, they don't even know. Let me tell you how it was in my family. In the family where I was growing up. Ken and Osa Copeman, they were good people. Moral, law-abiding, hard-working, friendly, good people. The kind of people you would feel privileged to be friends with, the kind of people you would like to have as neighbors. And Ken and Osa certainly considered themselves to be Christians, and they certainly considered their two boys, Adrian and Alan, to be Christians. But if you had asked them where the family Bible is, they wouldn't have been able to find it. And if you had asked them when's the last time they ever been in church, they wouldn't be able to. My parents thought Jesus was with us. My parents thought Jesus was with our family. He was not. He had gotten left behind a long, long time ago. I remember vividly the moment that was discovered. Interestingly, it was Easter Sunday, and ironically, I was 12 years old at the time. Mom had made a great, big, elaborate Easter dinner. She was a good cook. And the four of us were seated around the dining room table, rather quickly devouring all of it. Normally, we would have had company over. We always did, but for reasons I've long forgotten, not on this particular Easter, it was just the busy eating all the food Mom had prepared, and of course there was conversation. And eventually that conversation around the table turned to Easter. Easter bunnies. Easter eggs. Easter bonnets. And then someone, I don't remember who, mentioned that, you know, technically, Easter is actually a religious holiday. And that's what happened. Dad looked at his two boys, 12 and 15 years old, and asked us, "What's Easter?" And we didn't know. It was as if a light went on for my mother and father. A sort of horrible dawning that occurred on them because they thought Jesus was in our family and he wasn't. Jesus had somehow, unintentionally, unknowingly, Jesus had somehow been left behind. Folks, the Folkmans were not unusual people. I'm not even sure they were the exception to the rule. I think they may very well be the rule. Good people. Nice people. Moral, law-abiding people. People who consider themselves to be Christians, who consider their kids to be Christians. People who certainly think Jesus is right in their family. And he's not. And they don't even know. It was not intentional. It was not purposeful. They didn't mean to do it. But somewhere along the line, Jesus got left behind. And then there are all those families where Jesus has not exactly been forgotten. It's just that he's been shoved into the back of a closet, or maybe into the rafters of the garage, or perhaps into the attic. He's still around. But he's not a part of the family. Sometimes this is called a parachute Jesus. Kind of like a pilot thinks about a parachute. You know, mighty nice to have around. You may need it someday. But to be ignored the rest of the time. A lot of people have that kind of relationship to Christ. They haven't thrown him out. Because, you know, you just might need him. And they might call them out on a particular Sunday morning, or certainly if they're checking into the hospital for surgery. I mean, Jesus can be good to have around, but the rest of the time, you just ignore him. Not thrown out, actually, but not a part of the family either. I think if we, as we read this only thing the Holy Spirit has told us about the childhood, the youth of Jesus, that's the first question it raises in your family, in the families of those you know and love. Is Jesus missing? And I think the second question this story raises is, where do you find him? Where can you find him? After all, Mary and Joseph looked for 3 days in all the wrong places. I think it's still true that a lot of people look in wrong places. There are a lot of people who look within themselves. They kind of look into their own hearts, their own soul, their own ground of their being. They kind of look into their own hopes and dreams and longings and feelings, you know, thinking that somehow they'll find Jesus deep within themselves. Certain logic or a certain thing, I kind of get it, but the problem is, the only thing you're going to find within yourself is yourself. You can gaze into your navel all day long, and all you're ever going to find is lint. Jesus is not found in him. And then there are those who think that Jesus is found in nature. This too, I kind of understand. The scripture itself tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And I don't know, it's impossible for me to look at some beautiful scene of nature, you know, maybe some forest scene, some mountain scene, and not immediately think of God. It's impossible for me to look at the creation and not think of the Creator. But while nature can be revealing, it's not where you find Jesus. In fact, Scripture warns us of the worship of nature. Warns us of those who worship the creation instead of the Creator. And then there are those intellectual types who look into philosophy. There are those people who think that, you know, if you look at human wisdom, if you look at human reason, if you look at human philosophy, that's where you'll find it. Again, there's a certain part of me that kind of embraces this. I'm all in favor of education. I'm all in favor of the quest for this kind of knowledge. But you don't find Jesus there. The Apostle Paul wrote, claiming themselves to be wise, they make themselves fools, exchanging the truth about God for their lies, worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. Like Mary and Joseph, a lot of people spend a lot of time looking in the wrong places. So the question is, where do you look? Well, first of all, you look in his Father's house. That's where Mary and Joseph found him, in his Father's house. When Mary and Joseph find him, Jesus says back to them, "Where were you looking for me? Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house?" That's how it was for my family. Canonosa, Adrian, Alan Copeland. Because you see, that Easter Sunday when the light dawned in my parents and they realized that somehow they had lost Jesus, they knew where to find him, because the following Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, the Sunday when almost no one goes to church, that was my first Sunday in church. We went to his Father's house. It's a little church in a humble building, an awful lot like Shepherd of Valley Lutheran Church, which may be one of the reasons why I love this church so very, very much. But it was there that we found Jesus. The rest is history. Christ is also found in his work, the Scriptures, the Bible. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from what is hearing, and what is heard comes from the preaching of Christ. Paul tells his assistant Timothy, he says, the sacred writings, the Scriptures, are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is inspired by God and to be used for teaching, reproof, for correction, and the training of righteousness, that the child of God might be. Folks, this is why regular church attendance, why regular Bible study and Sunday school are so very important, because, folks, that's where you find Jesus. That's where you find Jesus. It's also why the devil will do everything he can to keep you away from church, away from the study of his word, because in the process, he's keeping you away from God. In his Father's house, where Christ is proclaimed, where his word is taught, that's where you find God. Kind of interesting. Of all the things God could have told us about those 3 years, this is the only one he chose to tell us. And it raises two very important, relevant May the peace of God pass us all.